This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة I was making Hajj with my mother and we went to the masjid for Jumu'ah right before Hajj began, a little bit late, which was about an hour and a half early. But when you have 3 million people pouring into Mecca and you go an hour and a half early, you can't even enter the masjid. So when we got there, there was a lot of traffic and the masjid inside was pretty much full. So we ended up outside, sitting outside, close to an area where there was construction going on. As you know, there's a lot of construction going on nowadays. And so I noticed that there were some people who were looking over behind the walls, the construction area. And the reason was because it was very, very hot. And there was a large area of shade. Now everyone's fighting for shade when you're outside. And so it so happened, just a couple of people, 2 or 3 people decided, you know what, it would be nice to be under that shade over there. So even though there's a large danger sign, they hop over. And it only takes 1 or 2 people to show the way. So of course, not everybody wants to do the same thing. But that's something that's very dangerous. And so the police, they see that, and so they send the whole group over to try to stop people from doing this. And there's total chaos because there are some people who are looking over the other side. They're saying, why did these guys get over there? Why are you preventing us? You know how hot it is over here? And so everyone's pushing and there's total chaos in the whole area. I was so afraid, actually. I told my mother, I said, Mommy, let's go. Let's go outside. Let's get out of here. We have to move. We have to get away from this place because this is how stampedes start up. And so, you know, I told her, I said, let's go to that wall over there. That's where you need to go when you hear, when you know that there's a stampede going up. You look for a pillar or a wall, right? You don't want to fall down and get trampled over. So I said, Mother, let's go. So we move over, and we're looking for a place to sit down. And then all of a sudden, throughout all this chaos, I'm thinking, is this how the Muslims are? Like, look how organized we are. We can't even follow signs. And you see people walking to the Jummah, and they're just like they're eating something, they're just tossing it. They don't even look for the garbage and so forth. And so you start thinking, is this how the Muslim hope is? Then you remember the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, when you see this large crowd of people, he said, Sittatida' alaykum al-umam. The ummah, the nations will come, and when they'll come, kama sittatida' alaykum ta'ala masakita. Just like a group of hungry people are fighting over a pan of food. This is how it is right now. The Muslims have such power and resource under their feet that they can shut down planes from flying. Like one moment, just like that, that's how much strength there is in that well that's under our feet. But at the same time, everybody wants a piece of the pie, and everybody's taking advantage of it. And so when the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard about this, they said that the nations are going to do that to the Muslims. And they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, "Ya Rasulullah, is it because we are so few in number? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "But I don't hear. But you're just like, you'll be abundance, many. How many? Over a billion. Over a billion strong and growing. Or should I say over a billion weak and growing? And so you have this, all of this. It's just like the foam the Prophet ﷺ said on the side when the water is rushing in a valley and it leaves this trash and foul foam on the side. Like that. Over a billion. But then to be awakened, yeah. You'll be many, but you'll be just like the mutats, like the foam on the side. The waste on the side. And so I start learning. But we know we have hope. We know that the nation, we know that the Muslims again will rise. We'll again be strong. This is a promise from our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us strength again. But I'm thinking, how? How is this going to happen? Look at the condition of the Muslims nowadays. Being massacred all over the place. We say, ya Rabb, as if the sky is just getting hotter. When we're asking, when we ask for rain, when we ask for rain. And there's something amazing. The Imam, Sheikh Abdurrahman al-Sudais, got up and the member said, "Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh." One after the salam, 3 seconds later, everyone is quiet. Through all that chaos that's happening, everybody sits down to listen to one man. 3 million people are listening to one man silently. How can, bring me the best drill instructor and try to get him to do that. And then all of a sudden he says, "Allahu Akbar." 3 million people are following the actions of one man and the rows are straight. 3 million people. Allahu Akbar. All of them are making rukuk. 3 million people are making rukuk all at once in synchrony. In harmony, in peace. Allahu Akbar, and all of them are in sujood. Bring me the best drill instructor and get them to do 1/100 of that. But then you say, you think to yourself, there is hope. The Muslims are organized. Look how the Muslims are. That in itself is a miracle. And it gives us hope. And we know that change is coming, and change is on the way. But where does it start? We always speak about change. Changing ourselves, changing our families. Where do we start if we want to change? And how can we revive ourselves? Let me tell you one thing, and we're just going to cover this topic. There's a lot of reasons why the ummah is in the state. But there's, and change needs to be done. But how? How? Where do we start? What do we do? What do I do here? What's the difference between them and us? Then the Tamil companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they heard this hadith, they were so stunned. Why? Were they so stunned? Because they were different. And of course, we have to change. But where do we start? Let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with Islam. The Quran is the same Quran that was recited by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions. Not a single word of it has changed. The ahadith, the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have been preserved. And we know that The authentic hadith, we know the authentic from the non-authentic hadith. The words that that the companions heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have been preserved for us in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, and the Sunan. These are the exact same words that the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what has changed? Islam hasn't changed. The thing that has changed is how we respond to that same source, how we respond to the Quran and the Sunnah. That has changed. Let's go back to the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of how they responded to Allah and His Messenger. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. Oh, you who believe, give your response to Allah and His Messenger when they call you to that which gives you life. Revive yourself. How do we start? We have to change in the way that we respond to Allah and His Messenger. And not only just change, once we respond to Allah and His Messenger, we do so willingly, with the fullness of conviction, because we know that Allah knows what's best for us. There are some people, when they decide to do something, they have decided, they have followed their desires, and so they're looking for somebody to justify their own desires. And so when they see a sheikh, they say, "Sheikh, what's the ruling on this and that? What's the ruling on buying a house here in the United States? For example, I can't afford it, I have to use the mortgage, interest mortgage and so forth, use the bank and things like that." And then the sheikh will say, "No, it's not permissible, it's halal." And then, that's not enough. Another sheikh comes. Sheikh, they ask the same question. And then another sheikh comes, they ask the same question. After you ask 10 times, you're going to get somebody who says, "Okay." Okay? Especially with the way you're asking. You're going to get somebody, okay? But that's not how things work. You look for the truth. You don't decide on a matter and then find somebody to justify your decision. This is what we have sometimes. We call this fatwa popping. It's like you're going shopping for clothing. You don't like it, so you put it back. We have to, when we know that something is the truth, when we know the Quran and the Sunnah, we have to follow it with the fullest of conviction. And that's this at this particular point is so important that Allah swears by Himself. In fact, Allah swears by anything He wants. He swears by the sun and the moon and the stars and the day and the night. He swears by whatever He wants. We swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when Allah swears by something, it is to signify the importance of that matter, and at the same time, more importantly, to emphasize the point. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, concerning this point that we're talking about, Allah swears by Himself when He says, in Surah An-Nisa, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. فَلَا وَرَبِّكْ إِنَّ إِبْرَيْهُ وَلَا مُحَمَّدْ. Allah swearing by Himself. لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. They shall not believe. They shall not have faith. حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Until they make you a judge in all their disputes amongst themselves. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا. And then they find no resistance whatsoever in themselves. وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. And then they follow it with the fullness of conviction. There are some of us, you say, astaghfirullah, you know, I shouldn't be listening to this music, whatever it is. And so you have these CDs or DVDs or whatever you may have. You say, you know, astaghfirullah, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. And so what do? You put it away in a box. You put it away in a box and, you know, put it in the attic somewhere. Why don't you just break it? Get rid of it. Maybe I might change my mind later on. Right? Right? You're still thinking, maybe you're going to have it. It costs a lot of money, right? But that's not how it works. That's not true repentance. That's not true change. Listen to what the companions did during the time of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah and the verses on prohibition, when alcohol and intoxicants were prohibited, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat down and sent a caller onto the streets of Medina and said, Allah inna al-khamra qad hurrimat, Allah inna al-khamra qad hurrimat, Allah inna al-khamra qad hurrimat. Indeed, hear ye, intoxicants have now been proclaimed prohibited, have now been made prohibited, it's haram. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, Sahih Bukhari, he said, I was in the house of Abu Talha, and some of us were drinking, others were raising the cup to our lips, and others were pouring. And when we heard the call, everybody stopped immediately. Not only did they stop immediately, they went to the container. They didn't say, oh, let me finish this last glass, let me finish the last container, let's finish whatever we have of this alcohol. Because hey, it was pretty expensive. No. They went to the containers and they poured it onto the streets of Medina and to Anas and Malik and all the others said the streets of Medina were flying away. Now, did they stop there? No. They went to the actual containers and they took the containers and they smashed the containers. They did not even think about ever going back to it afterwards. Immediate response to Allah and His Messenger. And then I want you to look at our situation and look at our cases, our individual circumstances and cases. When we hear something haram or when we hear something that we should be doing, how do we respond to that call? Some of us, we say, inshallah, after I get married. Inshallah. Some of us, we say, inshallah, after I make hajj. Some of us say, inshallah, after I graduate. Some of us, we say, inshallah, after I retire. Some of us say, inshallah, after I finish this mortgage payment off. Inshallah, inshallah. But death is coming. The sun may rise tomorrow, but you may not. Inshallah. Inshallah. Tomorrow. Inshallah, next week. That's how we are. And then we wonder. We have problems that Ya Allah, the help doesn't come. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Maybe it's because we're not responding to Allah. Because the quicker you respond to Allah, the quicker Allah is responding to you. Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَعَرَّفْ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الرَّخَاءِ يَعْرِفْكَ فِي الشِّدَّةِ. Know Allah in times of ease, and He will know you in times of hardship. Give your response to Allah and His message. In times of ease, and when you need Him, when you look and respond to your call also. But that's how we are. That's what needs to be changed. And look at this, not just the men during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even the woman during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was a companion. His name was Julaybib. He was a very short companion. Not only was he short, we could say probably he was like midget-like. Because some of them, they said, be sitting down sometimes, and the others would be sitting down, and he would be standing up, he would be standing up, and they would be sitting down, and they would be the same size. So he was very short, okay? But not only was he very short, okay? Not only was he very short, he was also very, let's say, not so handsome. Not only that, let's add something else to it also. His lineage was not known. And on the Arabs, that's something that's very important also. He got no lineage. He wasn't rich. And he wasn't so handsome also. He was really short. So it's hard for somebody like that to get married, right? So he approaches the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asking him for help. And the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, approaches the family from the Ansar. And he tells the father, he says, you know, I have a proposal, marriage proposal, to the companion of my father. He's very happy. He's very happy. Maybe it's the prophet, said Allah, hopefully. That's another companion. And this is it. This is something that's going to come from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so he says, I would like your daughter to marry Jalil. Immediately. He didn't give her a response, he said. He said, let me go ask my wife. Right? Ask her mother to see what she says. And so he goes home and he's consulting with his wife. And he tells his wife what the Prophet said. And she says to him, ما وجد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خير جليلين فقط من أداء من فلان وفلان. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم couldn't find anybody but جليلين. Like there are other people who wanted to have a marriage and we said no. He couldn't find anybody but جليلين. And so the father is about to go back and tell the Prophet that they'd rather not have their daughter married to their people. At that moment, the daughter was listening in the whole time in her room. And she had heard what her parents were talking about. And when she realized that her father was about to go back and tell the Prophet no, she said, she came out. And she said, أَتْرِيدُونَ أَنْ تَرُدُّوا عَلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أَحْوَىٰ. You want to reject an order of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And then she recited a verse in the Qur'an that they know. But it was as if this verse opened their eyes. And she said, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنًا. It is not appropriate for a believer, male or female, إذا أمر الله ورسوله أمر. When Allah and His Messenger have decreed in an affair, that they should have any choice in it whatsoever. أَيَكُونَ لَهُمْ خِيَرٌ. That they should have any choice whatsoever. And so they turned around and said, is this what you want? She goes, yes, that's what the Prophet wants, that's what I want. And so they told the Prophet, so they went and told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam supplicated and made dua for her. He said, اللهم صل عليها خير صلاة ولا تجعل عيشها كدا. Oh Allah, pour an abundance of goodness upon them and do not put any hardship in them. And they were one of the more happier couples until Jubaybin was martyred later on. But look at the woman. The woman who had come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, quick in responding to Allah and His Messenger. Because we have to realize, whatever Allah has prohibited, it's not good for us. And we should stay away from it. Haram equals harm. It even sounds the same, so you can remember. Haram equals harm. Allah knows what's best for us. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Does He not know whom He has created? And He is the all-aware, all-subtle. Allah knows. At the same time, Allah is more merciful towards us than we are merciful towards ourselves. Allah knows what's best for us. And that's following the orders of Allah and His Messenger is all good for us. And not just following, be quick in responding to Allah and His Messenger. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. Sometimes we look around in the community, in our families, in the ummah, and we start blaming the times that we are living in. We're always saying, Man, look at that. Why are those people so bad? Why are the times that we are living in so bad? You start saying, man, these are horrible times. There's nothing wrong with the times that we're living in, you know that? Na'ibu zamani, wal'ibu fina, walaysali zamani, na'ibu siwana. We blame the times that we're living in. There's nothing wrong with the times that we are living in. The only thing that's wrong with the times that we are living in is us. That's what's wrong. We need to start to change from within. And the first thing that we need to change is how we respond to Allah and His Messenger. When we look at the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in prayer, taking off his shoes, they all took off their shoes also at the same time. And then when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned around and said, "Ma hamalakum ala ikhfa'i alaikum?" Why did you guys take off your shoes? They said, "We saw you taking off your shoes, and we did so." And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You can't." It told me there was adab. There was filth on my shoes, that's why I took them off. You guys know how I have to take off my shoes. Look at the companions. As soon as they see, they follow. But let me give you another example. Do you know Abdullah ibn Rawah, a Sahabi Ansari? He was walking to the masjid, just like some of us are walking right here to the masjid for Jumu'ah. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw a couple of people in the back of the masjid that were standing up. And he said, "Ijlisu, everybody sit down." Abdullah ibn Rawah was still outside the masjid in the sun. When he heard the word "Ijlisu," this was a familiar voice. The voice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so when he heard this voice, he sat down where he was and he did not take another step. Because he was afraid of going against the orders of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though the order was not directed towards him. But his first instincts were, we hear, then we obey. Sami'na wa ata'na. He was afraid of taking another step. Until when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished the khutbah, some of the companions who passed him up, seeing him sitting outside, told him of what he had done. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "May Allah increase you in obedience of Allah and His Messenger." That's how the companions were. When they knew that something was wrong or something is prohibited, they stayed away from it right away. But you know, some of us, we take some of the traits of the Yahud. The Yahud, they knew what was good, what was bad, what was right, what was wrong. Even with the knowledge that they had, they refused to follow it. And as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. When they went astray, where did they go astray? Out of knowledge! Allah led them astray. Allah blinded them later on after they couldn't even see the truth. Because they knew the truth and they refused to follow it. When you start lying to yourself too often, you start believing those lies. So you know the truth. You follow the truth. When you start following your desires and trying to find people to justify your desires, you're going to think that that's the truth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will now let you see the truth. Because you knew the truth, but you still didn't follow. You kept on saying tomorrow. You kept on saying next week. You kept on saying next month, after I retire, after I graduate, after I get married, after I make hajj. Tomorrow may never come, and if it does come, how do you know you're going to be able to find the truth? How do you know you're going to be able to see the truth? So the time to change is now. Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi-anfusihim. Allah will not change the people until they change themselves. So every one of us here, before you leave this place, say to yourself, from now on, inshallah, from now on, if I hear an order, I'm going to follow it right away. And if I hear something spiritual, I'm going to stay away. And realize that Allah knows what's good for you. And whatever is in the Quran and the Sunnah is good for you, whether it's prohibited or ordered. It's all good. The Quran and the Sunnah, it's all good. Follow it and follow the truth. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت الولي والمولاه ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداء الدين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما.